Just as I came in tonight, they've determined he has 6 blockages, and they'll be doing surgery on him Friday afternoon. So please be in prayer for Rob. Pray for Tammy as well as she goes through this process. Let's continue to pray for little baby Harper, who's still in the NICU. I haven't had an update, but we want to continue to pray for her and for that situation. Johnny K., this is Stephanie's second cousin, and if you'll remember, she said Johnny is more like a brother to her mother than a cousin. And he has these tumors that they're dealing with, and they're now trying some sort of a new regimen to help with that. And so we want to be in prayer for him. Jimmy Shaver has not been well. Linda Woodall, Linda and John are not here tonight dealing with the same thing. Linda said whatever it was going around last week. They now have. So let's pray for them. James Morrison is dealing with it as well. So we want to be in prayer for him. Diane Hudler, of course, needs our prayers as she goes through this process of figuring out what these infections are. I think there was some more testing and maybe even results this week, and so let's be in prayer for her. Horace has asked us to pray for his knee and specifically for decisions regarding a knee replacement surgery and that sort of thing. So he's going through some processes with his doctors there, and this has been weighing on him for some time. And so let's just pray for Horace that the Lord would give him wisdom and direction and peace of mind about what to do. Sharon Scruggs, remember, will be going to see a neurologist in just a couple of weeks, but let's continue to pray for her to have ease from the discomfort that she's feeling. Sue, in addition to the issue tonight, continues to deal with that foot and the hand and the neck, and so we want to be in prayer for her. Linda is not here tonight. She was here Sunday, and that was good to see. We want to continue to pray for Linda Lindquist as she continues to get stronger and get better. Others with similar sorts of needs, Tina Templeton, and of course we're praying for Dee as well. Lisa Hood has physical needs, and so we want to be in prayer for Lisa. On my list it says Becca Davis. You can be okay? Is this flu stuff or other things? All right. Okay. Okay, so let's pray for Becca. Brianna Haney is healing, and that's good news, but we want to continue to be in prayer for her. The pastor's listed Brother and Mrs. Don Carter. Pastor Carter, Brother Carter, has been working as a servant of the Lord, I'm guessing, for close to 50 years now, and is dealing with health issues. Pastor Steve Triplett has a number of issues. Pastor's pointed out specifically his eye issues, his vision issues. I mentioned in an email earlier today that Daryl Barentine will be having endoscopy next week as they're looking into a high hernia for him. And so let's pray that those tests will be revealing and accurate. JT is recovering. Nathan Haney, the Pensacola kids are getting ready to come home. Nathan's dealing with chicken pox as well, as is his cousin. And so let's pray for them. I know the older you are, the worse they are. And so I'm sure these college-age kids and these adults that are dealing with it are really uncomfortable. So we want to be in prayer for them. Ann Mast, Jackson Cofty, and Luann Wisher. Satish is traveling, and so let's pray for him as he's on the road. A couple of other things to mention. We always want to remember our shut-ins, the Baskins, Libby, Darla Ash, and I'm going to put Faye Collins back on our shut-in list. Faye's been with us for a few services, but she continues to deal with specifically eye issues. She's taking drops, and her vision is seriously impaired as a result of all of that, so we want to be in prayer for her. From our missionaries, let's continue to pray for Kate Christensen, who's undergoing chemo treatments. Joe Hendricks is in the Dominican Republic right now, so let's ask the Lord to watch over him and take care of him. I got one of those texts today from John O'Brien, and let me read it to you so that I get it exactly right, because otherwise I'll get it wrong. He said, we were able to take 180-plus bags of food, humanitarian aid, and hygiene stuff up to a village just a few miles from the Russian border up north. I was there a month ago, and due to winter here, it was time to take 60 blankets, too. It was an absolute mob. I was literally concerned for our team's safety a few times. As we approached the village, Russia hit it with 3 artillery shots, which kept us waiting nearly an hour till things quieted down. The whole time, the entire village of 180-plus people were assembling, waiting for us to arrive. Our other 2 vehicles went out to our safe Route 4 again, but even there, heard quite a few distant rumblings. So we want to be in prayer for the O'Briens, for their safety as they do this, for those that they're ministering to. And when they go to these places, and we see pictures every day, they bring these bags of food that we've helped to provide for them. There's a Bible and gospel literature in them. If you're interested, you can go and do a short-term missions trip in Ukraine. He sent a brochure, and here's what we need you to do. We need you to drive a vehicle, and we need you to deliver food, and we need you to do that for 2 weeks, about 14 hours a day. It did not look like a fun missions trip, and he needs you to come now because they have these needs. Somebody just gave them two very nice Toyota Highlander trucks, 4x4, so they can get in and out of places. And so it's quite a ministry and an undertaking they're doing. And, of course, he's praying that even after this, this will give them inroads in an even greater way with the gospel to some of these places where they've been. So let's pray for them. Ministry needs, continue to pray for pastor. Let's pray for our services. And then let's be sure that we're praying for what's happening Sunday, not only our morning services and Sunday school, but especially Sunday night, as we've invited so many people to come and to enjoy the music and to enjoy cookies. And the cookies, as you know, that's just bait, right, to try to help them come in to hear the gospel. The gospel will be presented both in music and in spoken word, and then Jacob will be sharing a gospel message at the end of the program. And so we want to pray that the Lord will use all of those efforts to speak to people and to draw them to himself. So a lot to pray over, and I'm sure that I've missed a bunch of things. So who do I need to add?
Started out with an assisted living type place, and that was she walked off. So they had to move her to the care unit that would keep her, you know, 24/7 and locked up. So I'm sure she doesn't like it and doesn't understand why our daughters put her there, but she's got to be there. She can't drive anymore or anything either.
Right. Let's pray for Loretta as she adjusts now to this new place. Her daughter's name is Christy. Let's pray for her as well. I'm sure she took no pleasure in making that move either, but it was necessary.
So she just couldn't discern to herself properly.
All right, as we go to the Lord in prayer tonight, I'm going to ask Ira if he'll come and start our prayer time. And then Frank Hance, if he'll come after he prays. And then I'll close our time of prayer tonight.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our wonderful Heavenly Father, you're Jehovah Elohim, you're the God of creation. We thank you, Father, that we have the privilege of talking to you, Father, through your intermediary, Jesus, who sits at your right hand, making intercession for us. Father, we love you for all that you do to us. Your mercies are new each morning. Father God, we thank you for those, and they don't come just in the morning. They come all day long. Father, we just pledge ourselves to you to serve you, Father, in the way that you want us to serve. And that young person that Jacob was talking to tonight, Father God, he understands some things, but the most important thing that he doesn't understand is that it's your book, Father, your Bible. Men wrote the words, Father God, but you gave them the words in their mind and the spirit. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can do the same thing tonight. We can talk to you. Our spirit can talk to us, Father God. And you sent Jesus to save us from that evil place, Father God. We thank you for that. Dear Heavenly Father, we have a lot of people that are sick tonight, Father God, my wife included, with JT, Father God, not minding the doctor. He's continued to drive his truck and do whatever he wants to do. Father, give him understanding that when you give him a command, Father God, he's supposed to follow it. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray for my wife's knees, Father God, that continue to give her problems, Father. Thank you that she's been able to work. But Father, there are many other people. I think of Mrs. Sue, Father God. It's very rare that she misses a service, Father. But as she's in bad shape with her knees, her knees, her neck, her feet, Father God, she has a lot of pain in her body, Father. And we pray that you would relieve that pain. And Father, we know that you're capable. There's nothing that you can't do. You're sovereign in your creation, Father God. That means that you have the right to do anything you want to do. And healing is in your capabilities, Father God. And I remember all the times that we've prayed for Sam about his visa, Father God. And we didn't lose hope, Father God. We knew that you were going to answer our prayers, Father God, and you did in a wonderful way, Father God. We thank you that Sam will be working tomorrow, Father, and the rest of the days, Father God. Thank you for providing that visa for him. And dear Heavenly Father, Ramachandra had his prayers answered last week. He's able to work, Father, in the area, Father God, Wells Fargo. And thank you, Father, for answered prayers. We know that if we pray sincerely from our heart, Father God, and believing that you can do the healing, that all these people would be healed, Father God, if it's your will. We know sometimes it's not your will, Father God, but we know that we must obey your will, for that's the very best thing for us to do. Dear Heavenly Father, we remember the children that are having their classes tonight, Father. Be especially with this young man that Jacob was talking to, and give him understanding, Father. And dear Heavenly Father, we pray for the teachers, Father. Thank you for the wonderful program that Grace and Tim put on Sunday night. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for that. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being with us, never leaving us nor forsaking us, Father God. We know that you know everything that we're doing, Father God. Help us that we might not turn up before your throne and be ashamed, Father God, of the things that we've done. I love the pastor's message on Sunday, Father God. It becomes a habit if you continue sinning, Father God, and pretty soon you can't get out from under the devil's influence, Father God. And we thank you, Father God, that we have men in our church, Father, who preach your word. And dear Heavenly Father, thank you for a congregation of Christians that love each other, Father God, and that pray for each other. And dear Heavenly Father, we know that nothing is impossible when we come to you in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We praise your holy name. Be with the program tonight, Father God, and heal many, Father God, as we pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Dear Lord, it's good to be here. It's good to be here tonight, Lord, in this place where we have security and safety. I was listening to Brother Reed talk about the missionary that is in the Ukraine. And Lord, I'm thankful that we live in a place where we don't have to worry about the things that those people are enduring, that we have warm places to meet, we have hot food to eat, we've never experienced a war in our country like that, and I'm thankful for that. And Lord, I thank you for this pastor. I thank you for this church, and I thank you for the place and the freedom that we have to meet here, Lord, to worship you. We know, Lord, your word tells us that you're pleased with us when we come to you with our prayers and supplications. And we're thankful for the Bible and all the wonderful things that it teaches. And the Bible's full of fear not. To rest, you tell us to rest into you, rest in you, and not be fearful. We're not supposed to be a fearful people. The Bible says that fearful people won't enter the kingdom of heaven because it's a lack of trust. And so, Lord, we just thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for each and every person that's here tonight. We are thankful that Samuel got his visa to be able to go back to work. men need to work and support their families and take care of them. That's his desire, Lord, and we're thankful for meeting that requirement. And Lord, we just we have a long list of folks in our church that have needs. I do think of Loretta Knapp. I don't know that we'll see Loretta again unless her daughters bring her to church with the disease that she has and the loss of her husband in the past year. Lord, we are a needy people. So we pray for Loretta and her family. We pray for our pastor and Brother Reed and Jacob Haney, a young preacher that's just starting out, Lord. We pray that you would encourage him and watch over and care for him in a way that only you can. And again, Lord, we're just thankful for this place that we have to meet, and help us to never take safety and security and peace for granted. Those things that you provided for us for a long, long time. Lord, help us to be a witness for you in our country. Our country is experiencing problems that we've never faced before simply because we've turned our back on God. You can see it with all of the things that are going on, the homelessness, the drugs, the young people overdosing. Those things have always happened, but they're just seem to be in the forefront now, and just more and more. So, Lord, we just pray for our leaders. We're supposed to do that. We don't agree with most of them. But, Lord, we're supposed to pray for those folks that are in authority, that they would turn back to you, Lord, and lead us in the right way. The biggest problem that we have, there's no leadership. There's no one that's standing up for you and doing the right thing. It's now, Lord, you know what the situation is. You know what we need before we ask. And, Lord, we are thankful again to be here. And we just pray, Lord, you bless the service tonight and bless the cantata on Sunday. There's a lot of folks that are going to show up, Lord. Pray that it would be a blessing to them. Lord, and help us to be the people that would stand for you and stand for what's right and just lean upon your word and pray and read the Bible and do the things that please you. Lord, all these things we ask in your name. Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Father, we do thank you again tonight for the privilege that we have of being at this place. Thank you for your provision of a church in this community. And most of us came here well after it was begun. And we thank you for the fact that it was here. We thank you for Pastor and his vision those decades ago to see this place planted and established, and for your grace in allowing that to happen and your goodness in allowing it to grow. And now, Lord, as we take our parts here, may we be faithful with our own responsibilities. Thank you for those who have come tonight on a chilly night with rain and conditions that would encourage us to stay home, to stay comfortable. But, Father, they're here, and so thank you for that faithfulness. Thank you for that desire to gather together with your people, for that desire to hear your word preached tonight. I pray that you'd bless each one who has come because of that. Lord, again, we do thank you for the fact that you have answered prayer. We think of Samuel's visa and Emma Chandra's work, and so many who are feeling better now who were ill. We're grateful for a good day on Sunday. And Lord, we come again tonight, humbly again, with our hands extended, asking for more blessing. And we look forward to this coming Sunday, and we pray, Father, that you would work in every aspect of our services Sunday morning and then Sunday night. We pray, Lord, for health for everyone that's involved with all of the colds and the flu and everything else that's going around. Lord, we just pray that those who are participating will be well and will be healthy. We pray that you would help us to be able to remember those things that we've studied and worked on so that we might give a presentation that's pleasing to you. We pray for those who have been invited that they will in fact come. We pray for those that are lost that will be here, that they would hear and understand the gospel, and that your Holy Spirit would draw them to yourself. We do pray for Jacob as he preaches that night, that you would use him. And Lord, that hearts of men and women would see their need and that some might come to Christ even Sunday night. We pray for our missionaries. We've mentioned a few of them tonight and the needs that they have. Many of them as well will be having special Christmas programs on Sunday. And so we pray, Lord, that you would bless their efforts as well. And as the gospel is preached around the world, and it's our privilege to have some small part in those ministries going on in those places, Lord, would you please bless those efforts and use those efforts to bring men and women to Christ. Again, we commit to you those names that we've mentioned tonight, so many who are ill, some who are dealing with various issues that are related to jobs and finances, some who are dealing with family issues. Lord, you know every one of them. And so we are thankful tonight that we rest in you, knowing that you are good and that you are wise and that you are powerful. And Lord, we know that you know what's best for us, and so we commit ourselves to you and to your will. Bless Pastor now as he opens the word, and bless us as we listen, that our hearts might be receptive to the prompting of your Holy Spirit. May we learn truths tonight that will make us more effective as we serve you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One more time, quickly with your book, all the way to the back. We're going to go to those three little choruses that we've learned to sing together. We've not done it in a little while. We start on page 705 with "Isn't He Wonderful?" Wonderful, wonderful. And then we go straight to 706 and then down to 707, "Precious Name." And then we'll stop because we're not advanced enough yet to turn to 708. We'll get to that at some point. But we'll do just these three tonight. Let's stand together. Isn't He wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard, it's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is the Redeemer, praise His name. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name.
Moved everything for the play Sunday, and my book's on my desk. I didn't have it out here. I got through most of those without it, but Romans chapter 7 in your Bibles. Again, reading with verse number 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth she be married to another, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now, we're given an illustration here about a marriage for a woman to be married until her husband dies, and then she's free to marry whomever she will. From 1 Corinthians 7 and verse number 39 teaches if for believers that she should marry in the Lord. Or he should marry in the Lord. If our spouse has died and we're going to marry again, we're free to marry who we would, but only in the Lord. And so marrying Christians. The point is the difference between law and grace. We were under the law until Christ came and died on the cross and rose again from the dead. And now we live by grace and not by law. Those who've died with Christ have been raised with him. And we're free from the law to choose a new master who is Christ. And he is our Lord and Savior, and we devote ourselves to serve him and bring forth fruit unto him in the same way that we sought to obey the law in the past. We're free from condemnation by Christ, and we now serve him to bring forth fruit unto God. We should serve in newness of spirit. As Christians, the Jewish people had to keep the law, and it was a burden for them to try to keep all the laws, especially when the Pharisees were always adding new laws and new rules to the commands. It is said there were 613 or 630 commands originally that God gave the nation of Israel, and by the time Jesus came along with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, it was about 2,000 laws, including washing their hands and all those kind of things that they had to do. And the Pharisees were sort of like what you saw if you watched the news media of the Taliban, that they had those that would go around and punish people if they weren't following all the rules and regulations that they were required to submit to. As a Christian now, we don't serve as it's a burden to serve. Jesus, serving him is a pleasure. Serving him is a joy. Serving him brings rewards and blessings unto us. The Jews often, in trying to obey the law, only obeyed enough to get by. Turn back with me, if you would, in Matthew 23. We'll come right back. So keep your bookmark there. Matthew 23, Jesus dealt with the Pharisees about how hypocritical they were in not keeping the law in the way they were required at that time. He said that in verse 1 of chapter 23, that the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whosoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. He said, they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders. They themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. All their works they do for to be seen of men. He talked about their garments and how they decorated their garments to be seen of men. And that had nothing to do with spirituality. They love the uppermost rooms at the feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues. Skip down, if you would, to verse 13. He said, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Verse 14, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Now he carries a long message here of rebuking them with these woes. Verse 15, verse 16, he calls them fools that are blind, and they misinterpret what the law was intended to be and what it was meant to mean, and they made it a requirement of men that was difficult for any man to fulfill. And he called them hypocrites. A Christian has a different method of obedience, and that is God has given us his spirit to dwell within us. That is a power to enable us to obey God's will. Turn over to Ephesians 4 and verse 30. Ephesians 4:30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, a believer is a new man. what he was in the past. He's taught to put off the old man, the old life, the sinful acts that we did before we were saved. It's like taking a coat off that's soiled and lay it aside and put on clean garments. And garments that we put on is the robe of righteousness the Lord Jesus Christ has given unto us of his righteousness because of Calvary. He took our sin upon himself and then gives us his righteousness. And in Ephesians 4 deals with the old man and the new man. Look at verse 22 in chapter 4. That you put off concerning the former conversation or manner of living, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which is after God created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. So he's giving some practical application in chapter 4. He starts with verse 17, talking about don't walk as you did, as the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds, the sinful lifestyle, what you did before you were saved. But now walk in the Lord. And with the Spirit, we have the strength that we need to obey God's teachings. We have a new man. We learn to put off the sins of the flesh and live in righteousness and holiness to the honor of God the Father. So we need to resist grieving the Spirit of God. And then let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians 5 and verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. That's an imperative. We should rejoice. That's something God intends for us to do. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Verse 19, quench not the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a power. The Holy Spirit is a fire that works within the believer to equip us, to guide us, to empower us. And if we do sinful things, it's like pouring water on the fire. We're hindering the work of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit that he could work through us if we let sin get into our lives. And so we're not to quench and not to grieve the Spirit of God. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse... No, that's not where I want to go. Anyway, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit is an imperative, is a command. And we are to let the Holy Spirit control our lives. And that's what it means to be filled with the Spirit, to be under the Spirit's control. If a person is filled with anger, you don't take a quart of anger or a gallon of anger. You get controlled by anger if you're filled with anger. And if you're filled with the Spirit, you're being controlled by the Holy Spirit with our mind, our eyes, our actions, and all works together. The law is intended to reveal sin for what it is. And what is sin? It makes us aware of things that are sin before God. If you cast a stick into a moving stream, it will immediately show you the direction of the flow of the water, because it will carry along with it And sin becomes exceeding sinful to us who are Christians because of God's Word and God's Spirit working within us. Chapter 7 of Romans and verse 13. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin that it might pierce sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. So we see what sin does as believers. We see the effect of it. We see the results of it in the lives of people that we minister to. We remember what it was like in our own lives before we got saved. Some people will say to us, well, what's wrong with that? Everybody does it. Well, the Spirit of God reveals to the believer what's right with it and what's wrong with it. We may not have all the answers, but we know there are things we're to let alone. We're not to be a part of. We're not to follow because they're not going to help us in serving the Lord or praising God. And we don't want to do anything that we would feel that we would be ashamed for the Lord because the Spirit of God dwells within us. And we don't want to grieve the Spirit of God. The law is intended to condemn the sinner. It reveals to us our inability to keep the law. We fail to be perfect, so it's impossible for us to keep the law perfectly. God's only standard is absolute perfection. That's why the Bible says we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. No man measures up to the standard of the glory of God. But though we cannot obtain that by keeping the law, God, through grace and mercy, has given us his righteousness, so therefore we are declared righteous before God. The law was intended to be a school teacher for us. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 19 through 25. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. Now, if you were not familiar with that passage, you ought to make some notation there or mark there. Because the law is like a school teacher teaching us that we need faith and Christ in order to be saved, that we can't keep the law perfectly. And it teaches us that so that we see there is something more that we need, justification by faith. After faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. We are now under grace and not under the law. And Christ hath freed us from the law. Christ is the rescuer or deliverer or redeemer to us who believe, for the law would condemn us. Galatians 2:21. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. I don't know how many people I've talked to in witnessing and talking to people about the Bible who have told me, I would say to them possibly, if you stood before God today and he would say, why should I allow you into heaven? What do you think it takes for a person to go to heaven? And many times they have come back and say, well, you got to keep all the commandments. And they think that is going to earn salvation for them. No man can earn salvation by the keeping of the law. It is impossible for a man to keep all the law absolutely, and if you offend in one point of the law, you are a lawbreaker. You're guilty of the whole law if you sin in one law. And so we can't frustrate the grace of God. Righteousness does not come by the law, because if it could come by keeping the commandments, then Christ died in vain. Christ died to pay the price for all of us who are lawbreakers, and how God has made salvation possible to us. Now we're back in Romans chapter 7 in verse 14 through 25. For we know the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would do, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that it is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. So operating in the energy of the flesh without knowing the Lord Jesus as Savior and having the Spirit of God makes it an impossibility for us to try to earn a relationship with God or to keep the law. The law was and is the Word of God, and those commands were given for a way of life for those who were seeking to serve God, the nation of Israel. But the inability of the flesh to fulfill the law was evident. They constantly had sacrifices and offerings to make because they had sinned and failed to keep the law. Israel failed to establish righteousness. Turn over just a couple of pages to chapter 10 and verse 1. Romans 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. So the Jewish people, without receiving Christ as Savior, could not have the righteousness that was required by God. But Jew and Gentile alike, receiving Christ, are declared righteous and justified simply because of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the passage teaches the law is powerless for salvation and for sanctification. He speaks to the Jews, revealing the hopeless struggle they were in trying to keep it perfectly. And Paul was a Jew himself. He uses I 30 times in this chapter, leaving out the Holy Spirit's power and guidance. He's working in his own energy or in his own flesh, and that's an absolute failure. And he's showing the result of that. The law is mentioned 20 times. But now when we get to chapter 8, the Holy Spirit is mentioned 20 times, contrasting law and grace. The Holy Spirit comes to live within the believer and enables us to obey God and follow His word and live righteously and holy before the Lord. Paul admits his flesh is weak in trying to keep the law. You see a second confession in verse 18 through 20 of chapter 7. I know that is in me, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Paul acknowledges the problem of the flesh is weak. Then there's a third confession. He gives the same emphasis from 14. For we know the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold unto sin. Verse 18, for I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Verse 21, the third confession, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. In the energy of the flesh, we are oftentimes trying to obey. We're trying to do good. But we figure out real quick that sin comes right back. I remember how many times as an unsaved man I tried to stop drinking. I tried to stop smoking cigarettes. I tried several things to change my life. My wife and I'd get in an argument, and I knew it was because of drinking, and I'm not going to drink anymore. And the next day, I'd fail again. I was operating in the energy of the flesh. But once I got saved, Joy and I got saved September 14th, 1975. That day we went home from church. I went under a cabinet of the house, got out all the alcohol, poured it down the drain, and we've never had another drink since that day. God, by His Spirit, has enabled us to overcome the temptation we could not seem to overcome in the energy of the flesh. Now, Paul admits his flesh is weak. He admits the conflict between the flesh and the spirit. In verse 22 and 23, there are written laws and commands that God intended for Israel to obey. They were laws that were for their good and for their benefit. And then there are those spiritual laws like Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. So believing sin loses. As a believer, once we have the Spirit of God, once we live for the Lord, once we begin to understand God's expectation of us, if we let sin get in our life, we don't lose our salvation. But there are many things we do lose if we sin. We lose the joy of our salvation. We lose the blessings that God is bestowing upon us. We lose our liberty. We lose the power of God in effective obedience unto Him. And we lose fellowship with God. What can I do to restore all those things? Simply, honestly, confess your sin to God, and He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So isn't that a blessing that God has established that we what we have by faith rather than trying to keep the law? Now, Paul mentions four laws in this passage. First law of God, which is God's moral laws. Secondly, the law that has been since Adam. Man was under condemnation for sin, even if he had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Still, if he had done anything that was sin, he was still under condemnation. Thirdly, the law of the mind, which is the knowledge of what man believes. And fourthly, the law of our members, the actions of what we do day in and day out. With the use of, we are prone to sin as human beings. The outcome is a contradiction and a conflict. O wretched man that I am, he said, who shall deliver me from this body of death? The body of this death. And of course, the Lord will deliver us from sin, from judgment, from this human body. This flesh will not inherit eternal life. We're saved by grace through faith. We're a new man, but we're going to leave this flesh behind when we go to be with the Lord, and we're going to get a new body that is like His body. Praise God. I believe the Bible's pretty clear. We won't have arthritis when we go to heaven. We won't have a need like poor brother Rob's going to go through Friday with open heart surgery to probably bypass. He's got some stents. They got to bypass all of them. They're starting to block up too. So they're going to be in there, probably use up about all the veins he's got in his legs to do as many bypasses as they possibly can. And Joy and I have known Rob and Terry since before this church began, we were actually saved in the same church. And the church we were saved in was a storefront church. It didn't have its own baptistry. And so they waited a while and they borrowed a baptistry from Shopton Road Baptist Church in Charlotte. And we all went over there. We were saved September. It was in December we went over to that church one Sunday afternoon. And Rob and Terry and Joy and I and my mom and dad all got baptized together. Now, I always feel like I shorted the Lord just a little bit because I had broke my ankle roller skating with the teenagers, and I had a cast up to my hip, so they had to put the plastic bag over all that and baptize me in a chair, you know, so they could get me under the water. And I think I owe the Lord getting that leg baptized, I think, you know. So I'm thankful for grace and not law, you know. Man's inability to overcome the indwelling power of sin and evil by his flesh without the power of God. But rejoice, Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death. His Spirit lives within us, enabling us to overcome the flesh when we yield to him and not to sin. Now in chapter 8, we see the life of the spiritual believer, how that we are to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And we saw in Galatians 5 that long list of the works of the flesh compared to the fruit of the Spirit. And as believers, we want to produce the fruit of the Spirit and not the works of the flesh. So how do we do that? He started it out with verse 17, Galatians 5. We are to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, and we won't fulfill the works of the flesh. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you at home watching on live streaming. We've been praying for Brother Jimmy. He told me tonight he'd be watching, and he had some knee injections, and his knees are still giving him a lot of trouble. He got, I guess, that gel put in him, and it's not worked like it was. He was hoping it was going to. And then he's also had the real bad cold and everything that's going around. So remember him in your prayers. And his sister-in-law, Tammy Munn, is chronic health issues, you know. And his mother-in-law, Pat, has a number of health issues, too. Those last good many weeks, she's been here on Sundays and seems to be doing okay. Praise God for that. So thank you all. Bob mentioned Terry Nance she needs a hip joint replacement. Her hip's giving her a lot of pain. She's having a lot of trouble walking. She's at the hospital with Rob, and she is sitting up there, you know, 24/7 with him. And I think she's going to try to go home Friday when he has the surgery because he'll be out for a while. So it's tough on the whole family when you go through things like that. So remember them, please, in your prayers. Father, thank you for your love and mercy to us. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people. Thank you for all the work that went in this past weekend in the kids' drama and in the service and in the dinner that followed down in the gym and the cleanup after that. We just appreciate so much all who helped in every way, and for folks who pray and invite people to come. We had a few visitors Sunday. We praise the Lord for that. Pray that you encourage them to come back. And we pray for those that we've invited to come this coming Sunday night for the cantata, that we'll have a good attendance, we pray. Lord, bless those with a need tonight. And we thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.